God. If you have your Bibles this morning, we want to read out of the 94th division of the Psalms, Psalm 94. I want to begin reading this morning with verse number 3. If you've been around me at any length of time, you know when I am troubled in my soul or have things going on that bother me, I read the Psalms, and I read them and read them and read them and read them. And I've been in the Psalms for some time, and I'm just kind of bouncing around, and I don't necessarily read them in order. Psalm 94 is on my heart. It seems that we live in a day of political pressure. We live in a day of cancel culture. We live in a day of social stress, and we live in a day where it seems like they're banning the blessed, but God is still on the throne. And I want to read Psalm 94, and I'll ask you to stand as we look at verse number 3. Lord, now this is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that demands righteousness. It's the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D that knows you and I have no righteousness, but it's that same Lord that dispenses his righteousness to us. Lord, how long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and you fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. I want to go back this morning to verse number 9. The end of the verse, the psalmist asks a question. He that formed the eye. Who is that? Who formed the eye? Was it a scientist? Was it some deacon board? Was it the Supreme Court? Was it the president? Was it the governor? He that formed the eye, it's God Almighty. Shall he not see? This morning I want to preach on that thought. Shall he not see? Father, would you look on us today? God, would you help us this morning? Would you fill us with your Spirit? God, would you help us to declare, thus saith the Lord? God, I pray you'd allow us today to hear, God, the cry of your people. God, the times that we live in, how long shall the wicked triumph? Oh God, would you help us this morning, I pray, to declare your word, help your people. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I thank you for standing. You may be seated. Mankind thinks that God cannot see, but my Bible still says in the book of Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Proverbs 15:3. We know that God sent his son, his name, Jesus, the darling son of God. And this Jesus came to live upon this earth, and he lived a sinless, spotless life before God and before all of humanity. And we know that one day when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, when Jesus is come and he's Lord of lords and King of kings, but the world rejects him. He goes to pray into a garden called Gethsemane. And when he falls on his face and begins to pray, and came back to his disciples who had been asleep on him a couple times. The Lord Jesus Christ hears the boots of the soldiers as they start to trample on the hallowed ground of Gethsemane. Note the progression of sin as they arrest the Lord, and he allows them to take him into custody where they seem like or they feel like they are in control, that they are the authority, that they make the rules. And Jesus is arrested, falsely accused. He's arraigned before sinful men. And finally, they begin to assault him. In Luke 22, we read a little bit about how they assaulted our Lord, Luke 22, and in verse number 63. The Bible says very specifically, Luke 22, 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. Imagine laying your hands on Almighty God and holding him, that you think you're in charge of him. Look at the progression of sin as they hold Jesus. And then the Bible says they begin to mock Jesus. And then they begin to smite Jesus with an open hand or with a fist. They smite him with the palms of their hand. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. Note the progression of sin. Now today is Graduate Recognition Sunday. There's not one mother that raised up her little boy and said, "Son, I hope that one day you'll lay hands on the Son of God and mock him and smite him through the face." There's not one daddy that raised his beautiful, bouncing little boy and said, "Son, one day when you grow up, I want you to blaspheme the name of Jesus." Not one dared do such a thing. And yet here they are in the progression of sin, holding him and mocking him and blaspheming him and smiting him and blindfolding him. What a dangerous thing to do. These men are in a complete frenzy. I can remember as a little boy growing up and mom and dad taking me to church with my grandparents. And one of the churches, there was a picture of Jesus. Holman Hunt, I think, drew it or painted it, was Jesus, the light of the world. And my other grandparents' church, they had a picture of Jesus. He was knocking at the door. There are pictures of Jesus depicted about the cross, about the resurrection, about his ascension. There's one about the shadow of death. There is one about him being the good shepherd. But I've yet to see a picture of Jesus being blindfolded, being mocked, being spat upon. And yet this morning, why did they do such a thing? Number one, I believe they blindfolded Jesus to painfully administer punishment. You know, darkness is a weapon of terror. And these wicked men are following the bidding of the devil. And the devil wants to terrorize. He wants to torment. He wants to torture. And one way he likes to do it is he likes to trap men or put men in darkness. You may say, "You can't put Jesus in darkness." You'd be right. He's the light of the world. But here you see darkness trying to put the light out. While you're in Luke 22, look at Jesus' words in verse 53. End of the verse. "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." You see, darkness in verse 53 is trying to put out the light. John chapter 1 verse 5 says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." For generations, terrorists blindfold their victims. And the darkness of that blindfold would make a man feel vulnerable and make a man feel helpless. You go to the coal mines of West Virginia and you go into some of those mines that are just way thousands of feet, hundreds of feet way below the ground level. And they're in there working in the dark recess of the earth. And at times the lights will go out. Maybe something happens in the mine and they get trapped. It's mothersome. It overwhelms you. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And they begin to panic. And they have to pump in oxygen through ventilation systems. Just allow them to be able to have breath. And if those shut down and power is lost and they're in darkness, chaos takes place. Just like human moles working down at below ground level. These wicked men are doing all they can to strike fear in the heart of Jesus, slapping him with physical pain and trying to cause him to have emotional pain. Why did they blindfold Jesus? Hey, shall he not see? You cannot blindfold Jesus and get away with it. Shall he not see? Honey, he can see right through the blindfold. Maybe they were, number two, playing a game. Children have a game today called Blind Man's Bluff. And they'll stand someone up and they'll get around them, go around and around, and one of them will touch them and say, which one touched you? But they were playing a devilish game. Preacher Remington, I want you to come here. I want you to get right here. You're going to be the Lord Jesus right here. I want you boys to help me. One, two, three, four, five. Come on. Six, seven. Come on. And I want you to get all the way around him. Step up. Now, all the way around him in a complete circle. I want you to spread out just a little bit. All of you face to your right. To your right. March. March, just go. Halt! Number five. And number five would step forward. Now they would blindfold Jesus. And they'd take him and blaspheme him, slap him through the face. And he would scream, prophesy! Who is it that smote thee? And when Jesus remained, kept silent, he would say, march! Halt! Seven! And seven would step out, slap him through the face. I'm telling you, they'd spit on him. Boys, this is the Son of God. The man who gave you breath. The man who's blessed you. Who gave you life. And here you are, thinking you're in charge and you're going to slap him and boss him and command him around. Help us, Jesus. Thank you. Dismissed. Thank you, gentlemen. They're playing a devilish game. I just wanted to show you that today. Why would they slap him and say, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? They're attempting to taunt and to discredit our Lord. If he can't tell who slapped him through the face, what kind of prophet is he? Although Jesus was viciously, savagely beaten, he remained silent. Isaiah said he was afflicted, yet opened he not his mouth. He was silent not because he didn't know who did it. He could have called your name. He could have called the day you was born. He could have called your social security number. The pin on your account number at your bank. He could tell your mama's name, your daddy's name. The day that you're going to die, he could tell every hair up on top of your head. He is that much in charge. Yet he opened not his mouth out of the fact that he is a gentleman. How many people today are here in this church and you're playing games with God? I didn't ask Brother Caleb to testify, but this morning he came up and he testified to this. For years, he confessed, I've been playing games with God. I'd go to church and pretend, and there's places I would go and places I didn't want to go because I didn't want to feel conviction in my life. Hear me, this is not a game. Yet every day to some people, church is not a serious affair. It's for only for those who have religion. And yet out of the church, there are those that'll say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm such and such governor. I'm such and such president. I'm such and such politician. I'm a Christian. Vote for me. And yet turn around and promote sinful living and make laws to sustain it and support it. I'm telling you, honey, you're playing a game with Almighty God. And you're trying to put a blindfold on the face of Jesus so that he don't know what you're really up to. But honey, you'll never blindfold our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. to play games for power, to play games for control. Some play games just to live in some type of compromise, and you're in trouble. God knows who's playing games. I'm telling you, it's amazing. You'll say you're a Christian, you love the things of God, but you would quickly do all you could to cancel culture for anyone who's preaching truth. You want to ban them and shut them down and control what they... Oh, you are, you're becoming an offense to God. You're blindfolding Jesus. You are, number two, they're playing a game. Well, I believe number three, I believe they're trying to prevent his perception. You know, why would these soldiers want to cover his eyes? I believe they didn't want him to see their devilish actions, their sinful activities. He didn't want them to know who they really were. Now, they're not as brave as they say if they're trying to cover up his eyes. But here's the thing. Most people cannot take the eye of another human connecting with them. It's something, a human connection that happens and keeps you away from wanting to do something to someone's face. You read in the paper, I read in the paper just in the last month or so, there was an elderly woman found shot to death, had a pillowcase over her head. Why did they put a pillowcase over her head? Because they couldn't look her in the eye. Why is it that that gunman wants to walk up to the back of your head, pull that trigger? Because he can't look you in the eye. Why is it that prison inmates shank one another in the backside? Charles Haddon Spurgeon challenged his students to preach to men while looking them in the eye. I believe in being an eye-to-eye preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ if you have the opportunity. It's in the eye that you see pain and sorrow. It's in the eye that hurt is reflected. Again, these men are trying to blindfold the Lord Jesus Christ from seeing their sinful actions. I'm sure that you've hidden it from your mother. Your daddy, he doesn't know. Sir, your wife, she hadn't found out yet. Honey, ma'am, your husband, he does not know what you've been doing. Your children have no idea. Your family is just completely in the blind. The church, the game you're playing with God, you're trying to blindfold Jesus. And I want to tell you something this morning. Just as much as it didn't work that day, it's not going to work on this day. There is not one of us that could ever blindfold Jesus Christ and get away with it. You try the blindfold of religion, I'll put it over his face so he'll know I'm saved. That way it says, I'm a Christian, and you blindfold Jesus and you say you're a Christian because you've been baptized. Click. Honey, I don't care if you've been baptized so many times in the pond that the tadpoles know your first name. That does not mean you're saved. No more than me going out here and standing underneath this carport makes me a Buick. You're not a Christian because you sit on this pew. You're not a Christian because you have a Bible. You're not a Christian because you've partaken of the Lord's Supper. It's all a show. You're just trying to make it look good. Maybe it's a blindfold of religion. Maybe it's a blindfold of reputation. You're trying to live a good life, and you're trying to impress people so that they think good about you. Be popular. But morals without the master is a mess. Politicians say, vote for me, I'm going to clean up corruption. Yet they are the corruption. The Lord can see through everything that you attempt to cover his eyes with. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:24, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Number four, and I believe this is really the reason they blindfolded Jesus. You don't think it was, Preacher Darren, just to play games with him and to put more punishment on him? Don't you think? I think this is really the reason. Because of the piercing eyes of the participant. As they slapped him through the face, what they were wanting was to see retaliation. But every time when they striped him and scourged him and beat him and spat upon him, when they looked in his eyes, they saw love. They saw forgiveness. I mean, honest, when this service is over this morning, let's just pick somebody. Justin, you got a bow tie. Stand up. Look good this morning. We're going to take this man right here, because he stands for the Lord Jesus. We're going to take him out when the service is over, and we're going to beat him. We're going to stripe him. We're going to scourge him. These two boys right here said, I've been wanting to do it for a long time, preacher. I've been wanting to get hands on that boy, on that preacher, Justin. I want to get hands on him so very bad. Probably if you took me, Justin, when the service was over and beat me out here in the parking lot, I'm going to look around to see who's doing it. And when it's over, I may look to retaliate on somebody that hit me. I may look to retaliate on somebody that said something ugly to my children. I may look to retaliate on somebody that did something to my dog. Thank you. But the Lord Jesus, when they slapped him through the face, he looked at him and said, I love you. They slapped grace through the face. And he loved them. Those piercing eyes of the participant. Finally, the captain said, cover his eyes. I can't look at those eyes anymore. Those were eyes of conviction. I remember in the Bible, in this chapter, Simon Peter, verses 54 through 60, he denied the Lord three times. And the Bible says in verse 61, look at it. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, I'll go to the death with you. I'll never deny you. He denied him three times. And when he did, the cock crew, what's verse 61 say? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, eyes of conviction, saying, you've sinned. You said the worst thing you could say. You've done the worst thing you could do. And Jesus knew all about it. He looked at him. Will y'all hear me just a second? On July 13th, I was at Balfour Baptist Church, and while the preacher was preaching, I felt eyes looking at me, piercing my soul, telling me that I was a sinner. It was the eyes of the Savior that saw me yet in my sin. Oh, God, help. What will I do? They gave an invitation. I was under conviction. I wanted to get under a pew, but I couldn't get low enough. I wanted to get down there in the book holder, but I was too big to hide in there. I wanted to run outside and get away. I wanted to go get in the car and get away. But you see, he saw everywhere I went, whether in the car, in my bedroom, in the church house, his eyes were beholding me. They were eyes of conviction. Their eyes also that are peering and piercing and penetrating, with their eyes of compassion. Because his eyes are saying, you are wrong, but I love you anyway. I love you though you hit me. I love you though you mock me. I love you though you blaspheme me. I loved you anyway. Verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, not just eyes of conviction, but eyes of compassion. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because of eyes of compassion. May I say, they're also compelling eyes. You know when you've done wrong and he looks at you and you feel convicted and you look back at him and you see that he loves you. And this compelling eye says, come to me. Now you think about those seven boys that we had up around the Lord Jesus this morning, marching, slapping, spitting, mocking. If any one of those seven rugged soldiers, if any one of them dared for a moment to break ranks with the other and fall out and say, Lord, I've done wrong, Jesus would forgive him. Jesus has compelling eyes. He's asking you to come unto him. He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus could have asked for 10,000 angels to escort him away, to defeat all those soldiers, but he didn't do that. He suffered it to be so that you and I might be saved. That night, when those eyes were looking at me on July 13th, 1978, and those eyes were eyes of conviction and eyes of compassion, he began to compel me to come. They gave an invitation that night. I don't know that anybody else even moved. But where I was sitting, I had to hit some people. Excuse me, I got to get down there. And I remember making my way down the aisleway, headed for that old-fashioned altar, and my knees collapsed at the front row, and I didn't make it to the altar. I thought about crawling the rest of the way, but I was paralyzed. I couldn't move another step from where I was. I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought, oh no, I didn't make it. But you see, my daddy came behind me, and he put his hand on my back, and he said, "Son, what is it? What's wrong?" Acting like he didn't know. I said, "Daddy, I'm lost. I'm going to go to hell, and I need to be saved, but I didn't make it." He said, "What do you mean you didn't make it?" "I didn't make it, Daddy, to the altar. I couldn't get to where Jesus was." He says, "Son, I've got good news. He's come to you." I reckon he did. Because when he saved me that day, I asked him to forgive my sin and save me, believing in his death, burial, and resurrection. When I went back to my seat, y'all ready for this? I had peace. I wasn't the guilty character that I went down there with before. My sins were forgiven. My sins were forgotten. My sins were under the blood of Jesus Christ, and I had peace. I knew he'd save me that day. What a Savior. Shall he not see? Many come to church and try to blindfold the Lord. You try to blindfold him with your church attendance. Well, I just go, but it's very poor. With your almsgiving, which is very inadequate. With your attitude of gratitude, which is virtually non-existent. With your access to the throne of grace, and how seldomly you use it. By your affections that are really set on the world and not on things above. By your appearance to this old world. By your appetite or lack thereof for the word of God. Let me just tell you something. The blindfold that you're trying to put on him, it doesn't work. I'll lay out tonight, nobody will know. Jesus will have no idea. I'm a super Christian. Listen, this is our problem. I'll compromise on some standards and values that God has set in my life. And when I compromise, he won't know. He'll never hail and won't have a clue. I'll get away with it. The preacher won't preach on it. My mama will never know. What would my daddy say? It's okay. Shh, he won't find out. We got a blindfold on him. You're playing games with God. And he wants the day to save your soul. He wants the day to forgive you and restore you in fellowship with him and give you power again in your life and a new walk and a new purpose in your life. That's what he wants to do. You stand with this morning. Those, Seth, if you come play. Those soldiers, all they had to do was break ranks. And here you are this morning. You're in church. And you've gone around and around and around and around and around. And he's telling you, I want you to break ranks with this. I want you to. All he had to do was take the blindfold off and come to Jesus. And he'd have heaven, but instead, he kept marching around for hell. Oh, I'm telling you, there may be somebody today say, "Lord, I need to get that on. I could never thank you enough. I could never praise you enough. I'm slipping down this altar right now just to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want the blindfolds off. Here I come, Lord. Here I come. It's me. It's me, Lord. I want you to know I'm caught on you. Shall he not see?" Oh, yesterday, he's looking on the service this morning. What will you do with the word of God? What will your decision be with what Jesus is doing? Pastor Darren, I've never been saved. Oh, I've been where you are, a miserable place. Preacher Darren, I want to be saved today so bad. Boy, won't you slip up your hand.
I'll not come get you or nothing like that. Don't believe in it. But I'll pray for you. Preacher Darren, I aim to go to heaven. I aim to go to heaven. Is anybody? Folks still coming. Just bow your head. If you're watching at home, it'd be a good time for you to get on your knee and say, Lord Jesus, would you forgive my sins? Would you save my soul? Would you forgive me and let me go to heaven? Save me, Jesus. He'd save you today if you'd ask him. Father, this morning, I thank you for the good word of the Lord. And Father, I read all through the Psalms there. Oh, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter vain things? Yet, God, you sit on a holy throne, knowing all things because you're long-suffering and forgiving. But, Father, there's a day coming that long-suffering is going to end and the rapture is going to take place, and only those that are saved, the redeemed of God, will be called home to heaven. Father, this morning, for everyone that's blood bought, for everyone, Father, that said, Lord Jesus, I believe you know what I'm doing. I know I'm a sinner and you know I'm a sinner. I'm confessing my sin. You're faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God, today, would you help me? Thank you, Father, for these that are bow on bended knee, approaching your throne in Jesus' name. Would you touch them? Would you help them? Would you forgive them? Would you restore them? God, would you hear their prayer? They have a child that's wayward. They have a burden that's great. A miracle that's needed in their life. God, would you grant that today by the grace and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? For this I pray and ask in the blessed holy name of Jesus. Amen and amen.